If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Hello. Hello, everybody. And no, StreamYard gave me a pop-up about Twitter accounts that we're streaming into. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Welcome to Wrestling Made Me Cry. This is our AW All In 2024 preview. Kind of like a very early preview because we still have a week of TV to get to. But you know what? Tony Khan is programming All In head-to-head with Wrestling Made Me Cry. So that's what the conversation is about.
Who's going to win?
Definitely us.
It's also my birthday tomorrow, so if people in this chat do not either give us super chats or any acknowledgement of how baby and cute we look, I'm leaving.
Oh my god. They're leaving. Colin's leaving.
That's a threat. That's a threat.
Threat on a Sunday. Well, I'm Kylie. This is Colin, if this is your first time with us. We talk about like the wholesome, fun side of wrestling, and we have a good time doing it. And so All In, as of right now, has quite a few matches and a lot of like stipulation type matches.
Strange, right?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I'm really excited because one, All In is always a show that I kind of look forward to the most because I think my brain associates it with All Out, and All Out is normally the pay-per-view that I look forward to the most. So now I, in my head, All In and All Out are one giant pay-per-view.
How many All Out pay-per-views have you been to?
Have I been to? Mm-hmm. All of them. All of them.
I've only been to one because It's been in Chicago. That's not anywhere close to me. So
no. And also, so my sister and I went, I don't remember which year it was, but then we met friends there, and now it's like a yearly friend get together.
That's
that
really
we have. So cute. that because it's like a really kind of a perfect distance between all of us, so it just makes sense. I've been to more Double or Nothings, though, I think. No, because I didn't go to Double or Nothing this year, so All Out's still the winner. I will not be going to All Out this year, though.
I was about to ask you.
No, it falls at like an awkward time for work, and so I just can't do it. But I will probably... What are the pay-per-views left this year? It's...
Full Gear.
Full Gear and World's End.
And WrestleMania.
World's End is in Orlando, so that's close to me. So obviously I'm going to go.
WrestleDream.
WrestleDream, yeah. Which, World's End, where AW is having World's End. If anybody is traveling for that, just know it is going to be hellish for you. Because it is so close after Christmas, before New Year's. And that is a lot of people, they do Disney trips. And this is because all the kids are out on Christmas. So,
what? That's yeah. Like a-
well, and like where they have it. So the arena that AW runs is on the campus of the University of Central Florida. So it's not necessarily that close to Disney or Universal or anything like that. But a lot of people stay in that area and rent cars and drive into Orlando proper. So the more you know. But back to All In. Before we talk about any matches, I want to know, what match are you most excited for?
Out of all 10 that is announced now, you know that more are going to be announced because there's only one pre-show match. Of all the matches, as I'm looking at it on my screen over here, I'm going to stick with my answer of Toni Storm versus Mariah May because... We've been building for this for so long.
Yeah.
And it's finally here. And as much as I can fantasy book what's going to happen, I definitely think Mariah May is going to win. Mm-hmm. But something big that I can't even conceive, I know is about to happen.
I'm so excited for this one too, mainly because I think this feud has been the biggest symbol of the growth of the women's division. And apart from that, these two, I adore both of them so much. And Toni Storm's, like, the individual character stuff that she has done with this character has been extraordinary. She's, like, my favorite character in wrestling right now. And this feud is probably, just looking at the card, my favorite feud on this card. But that doesn't mean the rest are bad. And I don't think they're bad. But I think this one is my favorite. And I really, really hope that they get, like, 30 minutes to just go in there and put on an absolute show. Because they're so talented. And I think, for me, we haven't seen all that Mariah May can do in, right? AW, in AW, at least. And so I just know that this is going to be just... This might be my match of the night. If it gets, like, a decent amount of time and a decent space on the card, I think it'll be my match of the night. Who do you think is... I think Mariah May is going to win.
Oh, of course. I think that's what we've been painting here is Mariah May finally getting that. I want to know how Mina Shirakawa is going to be interwoven into this match. Because we saw her on, what was it, Dynamite? Just doing like a backstage segment?
Yeah, it was Dynamite. It was Dynamite, I think.
Because I have a bad memory, so you know.
Yeah, all the shows go together.
I mean, kind of when they're like Rampage and Dynamite are filmed in the same place, and then Collision for the past couple weeks have been filmed in the same place. That Ring of Honor,
Ring of Honor's in a rough spot, guys. But I have thoughts about Ring of Honor, but I'll save them for my Twitter.
So we should be following you over on Twitter.
You should follow me on Twitter. I've been doing this thing where I watch wrestling and I don't live tweet about it. And then I tweet my conclusions after I've had time to sit with it. I don't think people are enjoying that as much as I thought they would have.
Really? I mean...
I don't think that my takes are necessarily bad, but people And I've always had this joke, and like people at Fightful and, you know, others, that I'm a hater, blah, blah, blah. And me and Alex Pawlowski, we really bonded over that. And I think people are now taking it a little too seriously. So we'll see. But back to AW All In. I think Mina has been such like an integral part of this feud and this story. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me, Mina being there, but not interfering to help Mariah May win, but being there to celebrate with her, would be the most meaningful way to have her on the show. Cause I want Mariah May's win to be clean, and I want it to be, cause I think like that's the most impactful. Mm-hmm. And I think because Mariah May is newer to AEW, I think that she kind of needs that sort of clean win. Mm-hmm. And so Mina being there to celebrate is going to be, you know, obviously beautiful, but I would like Mina to be honorable and just sit there and be supportive and, you know, in her corner, or maybe not in her corner. I don't know. And then that's how it goes. Cause that's how I would do it if I was booking, but also I'm not Tony Khan, but I do think that Mariah's win is going to be insane. I think it's going to be one of the biggest pops of the night, because I think people are really organically behind Mariah May. But the, like, the interesting thing to me too is that people are behind Mariah May, but they're like, Toni Storm is still so loved and so adored.
And she's doing some of the best work that she's been doing in forever.
And I think fans are really torn. I was on Twitter this morning trying to catch up on news before the show, and people are really torn. Like, some people, they want Mariah May to win. They think it's the natural conclusion of the story, so on and so forth. And other people, they want Toni Storm to win because they think that she is still at her peak with this character. And they think that maybe down the line, Mariah May could win, but that Toni Storm has more to do as Women's World Champion, especially with the return of Britt Baker, Mercedes, you know, gaining steam, all of this. Anna Jay in Japan, who's going to be coming back. Ty Mello, who is coming back soon. Reportedly.
Yeah. So
I see both sides. I really do. But I want Mariah.
I want Mariah too. So much. So much. But here's the thing. So we've been building, this is Toni Storm's time. This has been the most excited I've been about a woman's storyline in quite some time. The character development, everything that's going on has been absolutely transformative. This character that Toni has transformed herself into, and after the shoe to the head, this demure, very cutesy, you know, like, all gone out the window. It is all pure violence. It is all going to be showdown right there in Wembley Stadium. Are we going to see a dead body? That's how I feel.
We might. I can't confirm or deny that, because we might.
I just can't believe that Juice Robinson is married to Toni, and then every time Toni does something dynamic, I'm like, makes sense.
Birds of a feather. What I love about Juice Robinson, and not to get too much off topic, but I love that Juice Robinson exudes such feral stray dog energy.
Feral stray dog energy. That's what I want. Put that on a shirt.
Every time I see Juice Robinson, I'm like, he's unpredictable. Is he going to snap at me? Is he going to beg me for food? What is Juice Robinson going to do? You know, I love that about Juice Robinson. And Toni Storm, what I really love about Toni Storm is that she can embody so many different versions of herself within like a 5-minute segment. Like, you'll get like the her current character, and then you'll get shades of her old character, shades of the outcasts, and she just switches between them so easily. And I think it adds more layers to her story, because obviously this Toni Storm character, this like Hollywood starlet character, obviously it's a front for Toni Storm. I think
that's absolutely.
I think that's a story. It's been clear. That's what they're telling. But I'm so glad she came out of the ashes of the outcasts and rose to the occasion.
My God.
the outcasts.
I mean, the fact that they're still kind of using that backdrop still for Soraya, and now with Harley Cameron. I feel like the moment Ruby left for maternity leave, I feel like the outcast died. Why is the outcast's moniker being just shuffled with Soraya? It's better than Falling in Reverse song, which I'm going to get, you know, don't alert her fans or his fans, but I don't stand transphobic people, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's played out. I'm bored of it. It just exists. It's like Chris Jericho for a lot of people. Oh, wow. The parallels.
Parallels. But the women's matches on this card are, with the exception of Swerve versus Danielson, I think the ones I'm most excited about. So let's just talk about Britt Baker and Mercedes Moné for a second.
Oh my God.
I'm so
excited. Who do you think was in the Sting mask?
I don't know.
I'm like looking at their body, looking at how their mannerisms are, like taking that bump. And I don't think it's Jamie Hayter. It might be Jamie Hayter because we haven't seen her in so long. Her body might have transformed.
Mm-hmm.
But that the butt on that athlete does not look like Jamie Hayter. That's the only distinguishing factor. Can't do it by the face. Can't do it by... They're wearing all black. The only thing that I saw was someone doing a somersault over the barricade, right?
You know what it kind of reminds me of? Do you remember way back in the COVID era of AEW, where there's that cameraman who wore like a black, like all black morph suit, basically? Yeah. And everyone's like, that's Claudio. That's 100% Claudio. And they were like comparing the width of the shoulders and like the waist. And like, I saw people literally like overlaying Claudio over the, it was not Claudio, but it would have been really interesting if it was.
It would have been. Honestly, though, I remember that time and I remember being like, he's not coming. No way. WWE is not going to fumble him during the pandemic era.
Well, they did.
I was proven wrong. So why does anybody listen to my thoughts about wrestling here? So I love the addition of Camille. I love that on Collision, she kind of got her lick back with the kendo stick matter, because that was my biggest issue, is like, why is Britt Baker like owning Camille? Height wise, physicality wise, like Britt Baker is toast up against Camille. And I really like that she got that lick back. And I liked that she, you could see her thinking in her brain, 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000. Okay, break the kendo stick. Mm-hmm. That was so good, because we've seen so many wrestlers go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, 1-2-3. And then they do it and they, you know, rush the whole segment. I liked that they gave it time. And I like that it was first last night on Collision. I literally turned on the television and went, oh, this is first. Oh, this is first. Love it. Need it. Give me 14 of them right now. You know?
Yeah, I'm really happy that Camille is in AEW, because I think she fits in. I'm going to phrase this gently. I think she fits into AEW better than she would have in NXT.
Right.
I think my reasons for that, I'll keep them to myself, but I think we can all understand. But I also think that Tony Khan putting Camille into this story with Britt Baker, who, for better or for worse, regardless of what you think, very clearly someone Tony Khan respects and positions well because he respects her as an athlete. And Mercedes Moné, who's one of the biggest signings AEW has ever had, and who is a genuine bona fide, like, global wrestling star. And then you put Camille in there and she's shining. Like, I don't think she's getting, like, outpaced or outclassed or anything. Like, I think she's doing genuinely very, very well.
I mean, and Mercedes is one of my favorite wrestlers, and I'm over here talking about Camille, so.
I love Mercedes.
I do, too.
I know that's also kind of controversial. Like, I think people are kind of, some people are still on the fence about Mercedes. They don't know if they really buy into it. But the point is that she is supposed to be come across as artificial. That's the whole point of the CEO persona and the larger than life stuff. That's why she brought in Camille. But I know that also Britt Baker, people are on the fence about Britt Baker. You know, regardless of your feelings, these two are going to put on a great match.
So are we going to have two women's title changes?
I don't think so. I think that if Jamie Hayter is ready to come back, which I don't know if she is, I'm just speculating, Jamie Hayter coming back and destroying Britt Baker and costing her the title would be incredible.
Oh my gosh, that's so controversial, Kylie. I love it.
I think that because I think the fans are kind of on the fence about Britt Baker because of stuff outside of wrestling and also her character in wrestling. I think she still kind of has that like the Roman Reigns stench. I think she still carries that despite taking time off.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that, but it's whatever. So I think Britt bringing Jamie in and being like, oh, you have Camille. Like, I have my own, you know, bodyguard, my own tough girl to stand behind me. And then Jamie turning on Britt in London, you know, would be, I think, an incredible visual. She doesn't have to align herself with Mercedes Moné, but I think if you bring back Jamie Hayter and she destroys Britt Baker, then you can sort of position her to be Mercedes' next opponent. And then we could do Jamie versus Camille. We could, which, chef's kiss, great match.
Give it to me now.
Like, and you set up like weeks of TV leading up to your next pay-per-view that way. So that's how I would do it. Whether Tony Khan wants to do that or not, I have no idea.
I don't know. Remember, chat, if you put in your super chats, we will read them right here as they appear. If you want to participate in the conversation, y'all are having a great conversation. So I love it. I love seeing you all talk to each other. Just want a little reminder also, tomorrow's my birthday. So if you just want to like, give me a little treat, you know, I'm not below, you know, doing a little shimmy shimmy, you know?
You know what? I respect it.
Thank you. Thank you. So having Jamie Hayter versus Camille say at, I don't know, would we blow it off at Full Gear or would we wait till Revolution? But having that kind of feud, that legitimate big house feud, give it to me.
Yeah.
We love seeing it with the guys. We love seeing them beat the absolute piss out of each other. Why can't we have it here? Why are we so hesitant to have women in these legitimate big match fights? I'm not sure. I know that we've seen the likes of Willow and sorry, I'm trying to think of who's been in all those street fights. We've seen Anna Jay in there, you know, the bunny's not there anymore, but Penelope, Ty Conti, just thinking of Ruby's face completely covered and drenched in blood. I don't know why I want it. I just want more moments of violence for women and more opportunities that aren't just for cutesy little title belts. I want them to be legitimate, hard-hitting, blood everywhere. I know that there are people who criticize AEW and they're like, there's too much blood. It's too much blood. Not enough blood. Not enough blood for me. Because honestly, it's all being taken by Jon Moxley. And at this point, it's a joke. But
yeah. Well, you remember AEW did the meat match with all like the big guys.
Yeah.
They have a good roster of like meaty women that they could do that with. You have Willow, you have Chris, you have Camille, you have Jamie. People in the chat talking about Beth Phoenix. I don't know if Beth Phoenix is going to AEW, but you'd have Beth Phoenix if you did. And they like that would be so fun. A women's, what is it called? Meet Invitational. The Meet Invitational. Meet Royale. Meet Mayhem.
You're just giving free ideas right here.
That would be so fun, though. Especially
it would be so fun.
But Willow and Chris are already in a feud. And then if you put Jamie and Camille in a feud, then you have, like, a really fun match. And you could put that, like, at, you know, one of your shows coming up, All Out, or what's the Washington one? Wrestle Dream.
The one I haven't bought tickets to, and here's my reason why. A, when I looked during pre-sale, the price for like a good like floor seat, if I was going to spend money, $300 for one seat.
Yeah.
And as I've harped on it over and over and over again, this is not a brand new stadium. This is where all the monster truck, you know, stuff goes. This is where like the rodeo goes. This is not a nice venue. And there's like a whole VIP section. And it just says like, stay tuned for your, you know, whatever. And it's like $500 a ticket. What is this section?
I have no idea, but could be worth it.
Could be worth it.
Could be. I don't know.
All right. Send in your super chat so Auntie can go do some investigative journalism. Investigative journalism.
Muscle Mommies. There is a match on the 0 Hour that I'm kind of excited about.
Muscle Mommies.
That's good to be it. Because it's Willow Nightingale and Tomohiro Ishii versus Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway in like a mixed tag situation. I am so excited, primarily because I think Willow Nightingale is going to pick up Stokely Hathaway and launch him.
I'm so ready for it. And I know that there are all those memes out there. I know that Stokely has been, you know, shaken in his boots, but let's not discount the fact that Chris and Willow are going to absolutely steal this match. Yeah. Ishii is just going to be there for show and to scare Stokely, but I'm here for Willow launching Stokely.
Yeah.
And then just having Willow and Chris just beat the absolute piss out of each other.
I've really loved the feud between them. I love heel Chris Statlander as much as I thought I would. And Stokely being like the little Yorkshire Terrier at the foot of Statlander, that has been just excellent. And I am so excited. And I love that this is on the 0 Hour because, well, one, it streams on YouTube, and that means I get to have it forever, even if I don't buy the pay-per-view. And two, because it really is such quintessential AEW that it really shows people who maybe are on the fence about buying the pay-per-view, if there are any people like that, it shows them what they're going to get. And that is absolute chaos. And that is what AEW is. It is absolute chaos. And Stokely is going to get annihilated because he's going to Willow annihilation. Ishii annihilation. Chris Statlander annihilation.
It's going to be the annihilation station.
Yeah, he's going to take like significant bumps, and I hope. And he's going to scream his head off the whole time. And it
is that what we want, though? Like,
yes. And it's going to be so fun. And so I think that this is going to be maybe not my match of the night, but it's definitely going to be one of the matches that I remember the most. And especially because of Willow and Chris Statlander. We have a super chat from Delayed Gratz who says, did you see that All In poster with Mercedes, Athena, and Swerve? It hit me then just how diverse the champions are in AEW. The business needed this, and I hope the Lucha Bros get a huge back from WWE soon. Thank you so much for your super chat. It's very generous of you. And yeah, I agree. I think AEW, rightly so, in the past has gotten knocked on for not being diverse and equitable, but I think that they've made significant strides in that regard. And I think Swerve, to me, in my opinion, is one of the best champions AEW has ever had. And to me, in my opinion, one of the best world champions ever in wrestling. Same thing with Athena. Mercedes, I don't think I've seen enough from Mercedes yet, but I think Athena, if there's no Athena, ROH has already failed. Period.
Absolutely. Without Athena.
Yeah, I think ROH would have closed its doors. I really do. And so I think that when you embrace diversity, and then I think this is proof of it, when you embrace diversity, you reap significant benefits. And I do hope the Lucha Bros get a huge back from WWE because they deserve it. And I think WWE should not only pay the Lucha Bros a significant amount of money, I think WWE needs the Lucha Bros because how do I phrase it kind of delicately? I think the Lucha Bros as luchadors are better than a lot of the luchadors that WWE currently has. And I think that they could get a lot of benefit out of them, especially if they want to do this Latino faction that they have. They have Andrade, they have people, but there's something really, really special about the Lucha Bros. So if WWE is not paying the Lucha Bros a significant amount of money, we know why. We know why.
Honestly, as someone that is married into a Hispanic family, and a lot of them still talk about Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio in such high regard, there really hasn't been a main event level wrestler that, at least on the men's side, you see that, you know, on the women's side, there have been plenty, but on the men's side, there really hasn't been a main roster main eventer that is Hispanic descent that has really displayed lucha wrestling. I know that Damian Priest from Puerto Rico has been kind of the focal point for a while, right? And a lot of people find pride in that. I know that my nephew really, really loves Damian Priest because he's a big guy, but we really haven't seen a lucha wrestler in that main event, you know, tier and quite some time in WWE. And I would think that they would be right up there as a tag team or as a singles wrestler. Hello, Rey Fénix to me is, if put with the right lights, the right package together, he could run circles around a lot of those wrestlers.
Oh yeah. And I think Penta, especially character wise, I think Penta just naturally slots into WWE.
Absolutely.
I think it'll be beneficial for both of them because they'll be able to do the lucha stuff. They'll be able to be flashy and all the kind of stuff. They'll be able to keep the sort of personality of being a lucha bro. But I think WWE will expect a little bit less of them physically, which I think Rey Fénix especially needs. So I approve. I know it was a big debate on Twitter, but I side with whatever decision is best for workers. And if that means AEW lets them go and doesn't tack on time, fine with it. Because I always side with the worker over the company. So
100%. Absolutely. But I just don't want them to be stuck in the Latino world order. I don't want them to be stuck as people's lackeys. I don't want them to be stuck in second tier or third tier. They are first tier quality wrestlers.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Penta is not. I absolutely think that Penta has the gimmick, the gear alone, doing the Joker really popped a lot of younger fans. So why would they not be in that first tier level. I mean, versus the Usos, what other tag teams do they have going on that are of that first tier? I mean, everything with the Bloodline, with Street Profits, like, I don't know. I just want to see banger matches. Like, please entertain me and do it to where people are happy and satisfied with their contracts and everyone is being paid what they're worth and they are working schedules that they want to be working because they absolutely deserve it. So,
yes,
that's what I'll say.
Period.
Period.
Thank you so much for your super chat, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
This feels like somewhat of a natural segue. But the AEW American Championship.
Ah,
that. I hate everything about it. It, like, the whole gimmick that MJF has right now pulls on something, like, so deep inside of me that it makes me physically nauseous. But MJF versus Will Ospreay. I have to say it, and it's going to sound like a knock on MJF, and part of me intends it to be, but Will Ospreay is a significantly better in-ring wrestler than MJF, I think. And I'm a Will Ospreay hater and always have been. The American Championship thing and this whole gimmick surrounding it, this ultra-patriotic nationalist thing that he's doing, to me, it has lowered MJF's stock significantly. Like, I'm not interested in what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people kind of fall into that boat. I think Ospreay, I don't really know what they're doing with Ospreay. I'm assuming that Ospreay is going to get into the world title picture later this year or next year. Like
Somewhere,
because he has to be. He's Will Ospreay. Hello, knock, knock. Tony Khan, what are you doing? I think Ospreay needs to win this, but I think he also needs to win it so decisively that it squashes this entire ultra American character. Because also we're in London, so get rid of him, bury him, take him out of here, and then we'll figure out what to do with MJF later. Because I think the issue is MJF came back and tried to be a heel. And people still cheered for him. And every time he was a heel, they loved it. Mm-hmm. And I think that when they were like, okay, he's going up against Ospreay, we can't really do that because, I mean, it's Ospreay. Ospreay's obviously going to get cheered. MJF's going to get cheered. That's not the story we want to tell. So they did this, and I hate it. And it's not even that I'm like, I don't like nationalist ideas and all that kind of stuff, which I don't. But it's also, like, so bland and boring. Like, you know exactly what he's going to say. You know exactly what he's going to wear. There's, like, no life to that character. It's dead. It's just vanilla. So Ospreay comes in. He wins it. Wash our hands of it. Ospreay gets his moment in the UK. Presumably with his family there. I don't know. And we move on. And we figure out what we're doing with Ospreay, because I genuinely don't know either.
What's going on with MJF is very akin to how a lot of people felt about Lex Luger.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went, because when Hulk Hogan left WWF, there was no one to be that, like, all-American, you know, whatever, rah-rah, go America. So Lex Luger put on this little trope of rah-rah, I'm all-American. And I think that we're done with that. I don't think that the only time that I've ever been, like, rah-rah, America is when we're at the Olympics. And I know that it is kind of perfectly timed for MJF to be like rah-rah Mr. American. And the reason why it works for Cody and not see the parallels. It's like Cody and MJF. It's like, they're still always going to be connected in my brain. So to have one be, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, and the American champion. I wish it were cheaper looking. You know what I mean? Like, I wish that it looked more hokey, because I think that there are people who think that, like, yeah, I want to buy that flag with MJF's face on it.
Yeah.
If I see you with that, you're a nerd. You're a nerd. You're a nerd. You're weird. I don't like you. That sounds terrible, as I'm like, oh, bring in your super chats, you know, come watch our stream. And I'm here calling people nerds. It just makes me feel uncomfortable. And I don't know why. I don't know.
I just want to say hi to Kate, who loves the MJF story. My thing is, Kate, MJF loving America, but hating Americans. I think for me, and this goes back to your thing about the Olympics. The reason why people like the Olympics so much is because it's Americans supporting Americans, right? And so you're not supporting, like, America as in, like, elite people who represent America going, I don't know, to the UN to do government stuff or whatever they do. I don't know. I'm an American. We don't know that much about our government. They do a lot that we don't know about. But that's the reason why people like the Olympics, because you're, like, rooting for, like, Simone Biles, or you're rooting for Katie Ledecky or something like that. MJF hates Americans, but MJF also, high key, hates America. And so when the issue for me, and the reason why I'm so souring on the MJF thing, is because people, they don't see it as MJF loving America but hating Americans. They see it as MJF loving America and loving white people. And, like, America.
I mean, you said the thing that I was trying not to say, Kylie, because I feel the same way.
And he runs it. Oh, I don't want to get, like, too political, because I don't like to do politics and wrestling. But he is very much pulling on the tropes of a certain presidential candidate to be a heel character. But it is bringing out the people in wrestling who love that. And they are supporting MJF.
And that for me, anywhere near me.
Yeah. And that's why I'm sort of, like, souring on the story as a whole. I kind of agree. I do wish he was more, like, gaudy with it. Like, he was more like camp. Mm-hmm. Like, dress him up completely out of left field, like, bedazzle him in, you know, cheap rhinestones and, like, you know, paint his hair red, white, and blue and, like, really go in. Mm-hmm. On all the American symbolism, and then it's so camp that I like it.
Yeah,
but for me, he's like, it's too real. It's too real, especially with what it's doing to the community. And also, Will Ospreay, he's English. Yeah, he's, like, from the UK, but mm-hmm. he's not, like, that's not his character. So it's just like MJF's like, well, there's what is imperfect about Will Ospreay? All I can think about is the fact that he's English. That's what the story is. But I think
there's so many things that, like,
I think
that are available.
Like, and I like Will Ospreay. I'm like a Will Ospreay hater, but I think now it's kind of a gimmick. I think he's growing into his shoes. And so Will Ospreay thoughts aside, I'm somewhat excited for this match. I'm excited for the American Championship to be done. So if Will Ospreay wins, great. If Will Ospreay doesn't win, oh no. That's okay, my conclusion.
What if this match was a squash match? I mean, I know that that would be a WWE booking thing and not an AEW booking thing. But, like, how funny would that be?
Who
I would just love to watch things burn. I'm a chaotic person. I am a chaotic person. And I would just love to see Will Ospreay winning in, like, 1 minute.
That would be so funny. What if he wins with a kangaroo thing?
I just want to watch Twitter implode on itself.
It would be good. And this is the match where you could do something hokey like that and get away with it.
Mm-hmm. But it is like a hometown, right? Because he's from actual London proper, right? I'm pretty sure.
I have no, all I know is he's English. But like, regardless, like, your home country win. I think, and I think AW, not that they have a shortage of like English people, but I think that they sometimes AW doesn't get to do the big hometown wins and that kind of stuff, right, especially at a show this big. So if the plan isn't for Will to win, then the plan needs to be for Will to win. And you need to change your mind like ASAP. Because I don't think, I think the MJF character is detested enough that if he loses, American fans won't be mad. But the fans that do like MJF, I think they also like Will Ospreay enough that if MJF loses, they won't be mad.
Because where are we going with either of these guys, right? We want, we want Will Ospreay eventually, right, when Kenny comes back.
Yeah.
To have another match with Kenny. I just want, that would be for me. Yeah. I just want
To me, it feels like they're keeping Will Ospreay warm for world title stuff down the line. Because obviously, that like their priority the last couple months has been Danielson and this retirement run. But then you also have Swerve, who's, as I said earlier, to me, one of the best champions ever. And that lingering feud with Hangman. But also, you know, Kenny's kind of lurking in the background. Okada's lurking in the background. Takeshita's there. So there's like Will Ospreay. He's kind of been teetering. And I think they're just trying to keep him in some kind of relevant position so that when these people do come back or they're ready, that they can pull the trigger and Ospreay can go. I think the world title picture, to me, is in its best spot in a long time. I love the Samoa Joe stuff, but it definitely did feel like we're biding our time. It's the world title. And don't even get me started on the CM Punk Real World Champion stuff. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about CM Punk at all. But the world title did fall a lot to me during that time. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do with Will Ospreay. Less excited to see what they're going to do with MJF. More excited about Will Ospreay. I don't know when Kenny Omega is coming back. I think it was Dave Meltzer said that he's like in the gym training, and Michael Nakazawa said that he's doing what he can, but like he had surgery and apparently it was a pretty major surgery, pretty significant. So I don't know, but I do think Kenny Okada is like plan number one because they already laid the seeds for it. But you got to do Omega Ospreay again. You got to, like, Omega has so many matches to do before he's done.
My mouse just died.
Oh no.
Sorry. I'm listening to you. I just needed to announce RAP. Someone bring me a AA battery, please.
Well, I have one. I cannot bring you.
Can you bring it to me? Only a couple hours.
Just pause the show and then I'll fly across the country.
Okay, literally. But what if you live streamed it?
Content?
Hey, I'm here for it. No, I definitely agree with everything that you were saying. Okada. Okay, but Okada and, sorry, I'm taking it from another device here that I can't show on screen. Okada versus Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
When are we having that happen? He has a championship. So does that mean that Will Ospreay loses the non? I think there's too many title belts here.
AEW does have too many titles. There's a lot. But also, there's so many moving parts and so many wrestlers that I can see why Tony Khan's immediate instinct would be to produce more titles. But I think if you start retiring titles, they mean more. And also you open up the space for more non-title feuds, which I think AEW needs. Because if you look at the all-in card, it's almost all title matches.
Yeah.
So far, mind you. So I don't know how I feel about that. I don't really like it. Because if you say if you have all these title belts and they have to be defended periodically, I mean, even the FTW title is being defended, then you stack your pay-per-views with all title matches, and then, like, where's the fun in that? You know what I mean? But speaking of title matches, the TNT Championship coffin match. Jack Perry versus Darby Allin. Pillars! Pillars coming head-to-head again. Which, Jack Perry is completely different now.
Right.
He's dark and
twisty.
He's a tortured soul. Dark and twisty, yeah. And then you have Darby. Who's Darby? But he's Darby without Sting. So, I don't know. I'm really...
Is this going to be Darby's first coffin match that he loses?
I think so.
I think so, too.
I think so. And I think it's... Because I think Darby, without Sting, has felt a little bit directionless in that he was, like, he was with Sting for so long.
Right.
I don't want to say you get rid of Sting, but Sting leaves. And then Darby's just Darby. And he hasn't, in this whole time in AW, he hasn't really had to evolve as a character. Because Darby Allin is such, like, a unique character. It's so profitable. Like, all this kind of stuff. But I think Darby losing this poses an interesting challenge for him. And then we get to see Darby rise from the ashes and come back from it, which is a I always love those kinds of stories in wrestling. The Phoenix type stories. And also Jack Perry needs it. I think Jack Perry needs to get every big win that he can, because the scapegoat character, I think fans really like it. And also I think with the EVP story kind of floundering and the Young Buck kind of teetering and Okada kind of, you know, now sort of teetering, I think Jack Perry getting this win makes that whole thing, the EVP story, more compelling. And then later on down the line, you know, Hangman, Omega, whoever comes in, they can, it brings more dynamics to that if Jack Perry is like the pupil that supersedes the mentor in that regard. So that's what I want for Jack Perry. I think this match is going to be fun. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be bloody. There'll probably be every weapon you can imagine and more. And I think Darby loses.
What do you think of the new title? I think it's so funny, by the way, with all these TNT champions. They just keep having their own version, which I love. Mm-hmm. But what do you think of the new title that after Collision last night? What do you think of it?
I like it. I really do. And I personally, I never have, except for the world titles, because I think if you're a world champion, the belt has to be standard. Mm-hmm. But if you're like one of these TNT champions or, you know, what are the other ones? American or, you know, whatever. These other, you know, little belts. They're all on the same playing field as far as I'm concerned. if you're one of these, like, why not customize it? One, because you get to look cool. And two, AEW gets to sell some merch off of these, you know, unique belts. And three, it really, if you're Jack Perry and you're this like dark, broody character, you're not going to walk around with that old version of the TNT title, which is so shiny and gold and clean and, you know, preppy. You're gonna make your own. And he did. And I like it. And I know, some people, you know, they're annoyed that there's so many titles. They're annoyed that they're always changing, whatever. Listen, Jack Perry, who is part of this EVP's elite faction, being like, no, I'm making my own title belt. And you can't, like, an annoying little bratty kid. I'm into it. I'm just into Jack Perry. I'm really into the scapegoat.
We're jacking it. We've always been jacking it.
Hello? We've been jacking it for months.
We've been jacking it for months and months and months. I agree that this new darkened version, where it looks like there's blood smears across the front, I think that that's very this new Jack Perry coded essence, I guess. I definitely think that Darby's losing. I definitely think it's going to be his first coffin match loss. I definitely think that this is going to put Darby somewhere else focusing, or maybe they'll do another match where Darby can never go for the TNT championship again while Jack Perry has it, you know, whatever. I want to see, so with all these like belts, right? I want to see the toy. I want to see the figure with the brand, new branded belt. That's what I want to see. Marketing wise, that is so perfect. You would get the quickest $25 out of me, whatever it is. Because
yeah,
that's what I want. I want to see those special titles. I want to see the things that make them unique. I want to see, you know, the, he has that goat fossil bone thing that he wear. I don't know. Mask.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I'm not that kind of person, but it's so spooky that I love it. You remember the Bludgeon Brothers, right? When they came out with their little masks and they had their little hammer.
Yeah.
Sledgehammer things. Scared the absolute piss out of me like the first couple times that they came in, because they were so scary. And I don't like masks. I don't like mascots. I don't like masks. That is not who I am. The mm-hmm. Fiend was like scary to me, and it's because I don't do the scary bits.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of this entertainment that I want to be. I want to be a little bit scared, and I want to be a little bit uncomfortable, because it's so creepy and so part of the character. Just turn it up a little bit. I that's what I want to see. And I love that Jack Perry is kind of, he's not fully spooky branded like Malachi, and he's not getting lost, and you don't think that they're the same, right? You don't think that he's part of House of Black at all. But I just want to see more of it, to the point that it's like undeniable that this is a different version of Jack Perry. And this is whatever happened at Wembley last year isn't overshadowed by this new character that he's come into, because that's been a year. It's been a year since Real Glass, Go Cry Me a River.
Oh, it has.
Can you believe that? It's been a year. It's been a year. And I feel like we just saw that footage. We just started making those memes. It's been a year.
That is crazy to me.
The year of Jack Perry, though. The year of the scapegoat. What is the Chinese year?
I don't know.
Can someone tell me in the chat?
I don't know. I remember it being something cool, because I remember looking at it.
It was the most memorable thing. More glass, more things. Honestly, I'm into it. Okay. I don't know how people can tell. Okay, here we go. February 2024 through January 2025 is the dragon, which I was born in the year of the dragon.
Oh, how cute.
I know. But we don't get to the goat until 2027. So I don't think he can keep up this gimmick for three more years.
I don't underestimate him. I think he's got it.
But what if he was in the title picture in 3 years, the main title picture, and he just played off of, it's the year of the goat.
He's goated.
Right? Ooh. Speaking of goat. Brian Danielson. Brian Danielson versus Swerve Strickland. What do you think?
This is a crazy match, okay? Because it's...
okay.
It's title and career. Which is like, and I know Danielson's whole thing has been, you know, Birdie. First he says, Birdie says, I can't wrestle anymore once she turns 7, right? Yeah. So we're like, oh no, Danielson. And now it's, Birdie says, I can't wrestle as much once she turns 7. Birdie, we need to hear from Birdie. We need to hear straight from the floor. Put her on
Birdie
camera.
Addresses her enemies.
Because, like, Birdie, we are being so wishy-washy with this. I need to know if Danielson is gone for good.
Okay, but he also has said in interviews that his son loves watching him wrestle.
Yeah. So he should wrestle. So I think...
Right?
I think Swerve wins. No, he can't because... Oh, but, like, my thing is, I would love Danielson's big title win to be at Wrestle Dream, like, in his home state.
I know.
But, like, he has to win here.
And unless, if they do a screwy finish.
Yeah, unless Swerve wins. And then, so, like, Swerve wins, and then Danielson's like, oh, I'm actually not under contract, so nothing means anything. Fight me at Wrestle Dream or something. Or, because Danielson's thing is, like, I'm wrapping up. I'm going to be part-time, whatever. But it's, I guess Danielson could win and then, but if he's going to be part-time, then he can't win. So he has to lose, like, at Wrestle Dream. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know
either.
I'm going to stick with,
this isn't written in stone. Kylie has the right to change her mind whenever she wants.
I have the right to change my mind. I don't know, because Swerve winning, I think, because he's more heel now. Okay. Danielson winning in front of a crowd that big, it's like such a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But then I guess he could drop the title back to Swerve at Wrestle Dream, which I imagine would be the plan, unless they do Hangman and then it's Hangman Swerve at Full Gear.
So this is what I think.
Hmm.
I think that Danielson wins it. Okay. I think that we haven't talked about it, but the Casino Gauntlet match, I think that Hangman wins that.
Okay.
I think that Hangman comes out. I think he screws Swerve.
Okay.
He screws Swerve, but Danielson wins. Big celebration. Birdie comes up on, you know, the shoulders in Wembley, right? Everybody's so excited. But Swerve and Hangman are still fighting on the outside.
Yeah.
This leads to a triple threat at Wrestle Dream. Leading up to Wrestle Dream, Danielson gets hurt, or he plays hurt. So he's questionable up to the day of Wrestle Dream. His music plays nothing. So Swerve and Hangman fight for the first part of that match at Wrestle Dream. All of a sudden, you see him come out. He probably has an eye patch. He probably has an arm in a sling, whatever. He's starting to do all these things. But guess what? Hangman wins at Wrestle Dream. Leads to Full Gear, Hangman, and Swerve. Hangman wins. That's my three pay-per-view prediction. You're welcome, Tony Khan. I will take that $3.5 million for that idea, please, right now.
Hangman being here throws such a wrench into the works. Because, like,
right.
I presume that Hangman is going to be in the world title picture at some point because they're keeping him and Swerve relevant as a feud, right? But, Birdie Danielson, she's really one number on me.
So we have a dart, like darts or whatever, and I joked, because we usually host like a wrestling party. I joked that we should throw darts at at Brittany Danielson picture.
No, you know what we need to do? We need to throw, I was talking to people about this. I was such a big John Cena fan until I, like, he was on Total Bellas, and he was such a freak.
No shoes on in the house. No.
So many rules about this house. And so I was like, that was like a significant turning point. That's a core memory for me, is when realizing that John Cena, who like I had grown up adoring.
A scripted reality show.
He was, it was so much. And then also, I'll never forget the day where he got married at the courthouse, which is not far from me. And he was took his wedding pictures in the exact step that I sat on during jury duty. John Cena.
If you had not moved at all from jury duty to when he got married.
I should have stayed there the whole 2 years.
Speaking of jury duty, I got a summons. I got summoned.
And it, I don't know what it's like in other states, but in Florida, it's so hard to get out of it.
Yeah, it was like one of the things was like, is someone in your family like a felon, or like, have you committed a felony? All these things. I'm like, have you had a crime committed against you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, they asked, I got dismissed from jury duty. Cause they asked me like, have you ever had a bad interaction with like the police or the courts? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I did not want to be there. But, and then they also, they're like, and we can wrap up after this. They offer like a little measly little stipend. And they're like, oh, you, because work isn't an excuse to miss jury duty. They're like, oh, we'll give you your little stipend and you can be on your way.
It's not even enough to cover lunch.
No, I don't remember how much it is, but it sucks. And I love the jury system. We need to think about jury duty. That's my closing thought. John Cena needs to improve the jury system. Wow. Lost courthouses, apparently. Fix it.
Well, we'll see next week. Leave in the chat if you want us to do a watch along. We're still trying to decide. Would you wanna watch with us?
Yeah. Or if you guys, if you don't like watch alongs and you'd want something else, let us know.
Yeah.
We can do like, I think someone else is doing the Fightful post show, but we could like do something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Let us know. We'll
figure it out.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah. Go follow Kylie on Twitter to find out what Kylie thinks of all these matches. Because Kylie should be live tweeting, and everyone bully Kylie to live tweet because I need to know what Kylie thinks.
The issue for me with live tweeting is that I find myself tweeting somewhat rude things. And I believe them.
Sure.
My real thoughts. But I'm always like, do I really want to put that negativity into the world? Maybe I do. Maybe that's the moral of the story here.
We didn't even talk about Collision, and I said a lot of mean things about Collision last night while I was live tweeting it, which, by the way, I'm on Pacific time, so all these people are spoiling it for me, which I'm fine with, but I'm getting messages like, oh, are you pissed? I can't watch it. It's not live for me yet.
That's East Coast, man. That's where the majority of people live.
Okay, I'm gonna move in. Make a little cot room in your closet for me.
Okay.
Bring your dog. AEW. Listen, you would love you. Look at her. She's full ham baby. Full ham baby. And join the box fan.
I love that.
Yeah. Go follow me on Twitter _ queer auntie. Tomorrow's my birthday. And if all of you in the chat over here, whenever, if you all don't wish me a happy birthday, I'm going to visit you at night, and I'm going to haunt you. and I'm going to interrupt your little dreams. I'm going to put my fingers into your brain and I'm going to make you regret it. So go wish me happy birthday either today, tomorrow. If you do it on Tuesday, I might forgive you, but don't want to mess with me.
Mike got ahead of the curve. Happy birthday. Happy early birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. My brain has not been in a great like mental spot, and it's like the things that are going on in my life that I don't talk about on social media. So I was feeling a little like kind of bleh, but this is giving me life. So thank you. Prelated. I love it. Prelated birthday. Thank you, Pat. Is that prelated or wait? Brain's exploded. Don't care. But you can follow me over there. I do a Ring of Honor post show. So if you want to hear about my thoughts about the Ring of Honor match from Saturday, see you Thursday over at our local establishment, our friends over there. Or just follow me on Twitter. You'll see.
All that being said, oh yeah, Pat says belated is late. I feel polluted.
Pat, you're smart. You are smart. My brain just didn't go there.
Birthday with balloons and cake. So, yeah, follow me on Twitter at Kylie Wrestling. I don't know. I'll live tweet. I'll do something. We'll figure out where I'm going with Twitter. I'm at like a turning point where I'm trying to understand what I want my Twitter to be. So follow me on Twitter for that. This is Fightful Overbooked. There's lots of content on Fightful Overbooked. There's Wrestling Made Me Cry. There's In the Weeds. There's Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. There's so much going on. So, like, I don't even know all of the shows that are on Fightful Overbooked. That's how many there are. So go look at that. Go to the playlist. Go check out everybody else's shows. This is Wrestling Made Me Cry, a show where me and Collins just talk about what we like. And that's that. So make sure that you tune in every Sunday at 12 p.m. Eastern, noon Eastern, every Sunday for Wrestling Made Me Cry. All that being said, thank you guys so much for joining us for our very early preview of AEW All In 2024. We didn't cover every match, but we covered most of them, I think like the big ones, and I'm super excited for the show. So thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
You've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with Cook Unity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to Cook Unity. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout for 50% off your first week.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.